This is Show Me Today. I'm Alisa Nelson, and we have a very special guest today, Dr. Curtis Kane. He is the superintendent at Wentzville, and not only that, but he is also the National Superintendent of the Year. So we have him on the show to talk a little bit about this great honor. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Kane. Really appreciate it. So let's start off and just talk about what you were thinking when that moment came and they announced your name as the National Superintendent of the Year.
Well, the announcement occurred at the American Association of School Administrators, or AASA, National Conference. And so all of the 50 states, minus one that actually nominated every superintendent for all of their efforts as related to pandemic this past year, had a state superintendent of the year that was on the stage. And then what ultimately happened is that as it relates to this process, from the 50 states, four are actually selected to act as finalists for the National Superintendent of the Year. And so I have to readily or fully admit that this was a very closely guarded secret. And so none of us had, to my knowledge, none of us had any idea until the name was actually read aloud on the stage itself. And so, they are such a good group of professionals. I mean, such a skilled group of dedicated professionals. And then as we've had the opportunity to get to know each other, find out that they're even better people. And so really, I stood on stage thinking there is not a bad option standing in front of this very large room. And it's interesting. I actually cover my mouth when I heard my name to prevent my jaw from actually dropping. I was very, very surprised. And so it is just a very humbling recognition. And it's not about my work, but it's about the work that we're doing as a district, because we're focused on kids, right? And it's been an interesting and very challenging time for, I believe, every educator and every leader in schools at this point in time. But I'm very humbled and very honored to serve as National Superintendent of the Year.
Talk to me. Who nominated you from the get-go for this?
Yes. Actually, I was nominated by Kevin Carl, who is superintendent in the Hancock Place School District, which is in actually St. Louis County. And he actually did nominate me. He let me know he was going to put forward my name in terms of nomination, and was hoping that I would, in fact, complete the application process. And I, to be honest, would not have done so if I would not have nominated myself. But the fact that a colleague thought enough of the work that that is happening here in Wentzville, I felt in that case duty bound to complete the application. So I did.
Tell me a little bit about your connection.
So we have known each other as colleagues since I've been in the St. Louis region. So we've known each other for just over 8 years. We actually currently have been serving on there's a regional task force that's a pandemic task force with health professionals. And Jefferson County, St. Louis County, and St. Charles County all have representation on that particular task force. And we've been working with medical professionals and then superintendents public policy leaders as well in terms of health, trying to navigate all the ups, the downs, the in-betweens as it relates to the pandemic. And so Kevin and I knew each other before serving on that work group, but we've definitely been able to talk more as a result of serving on that work group. He's a very skilled leader, and I consider him to be a very, very skilled educational leader, not only in comparison to what's happening in Missouri, but across the nation. Kevin's a good man.
All right. So tell me about what it means to you to be chosen as the National Superintendent of the Year.
I keep landing on humbling, but it is very humbling, because I know that there are thousands of superintendents that are just engaged in the same work, right? And that's what we really focus on, is the work, trying to strike a balance in terms of the best interest of students, of staff, of patrons, of parents, of the community as a whole. It's been an interesting journey, I'd say, the past, as I think about it, just over 2 years now. It's been a very, very interesting journey. It's been a very, very much a very winding road, and we're all trying to do our level best to meet the contextual challenges that are in front of us as the conditions constantly evolve in terms of what we're facing and just the different, I call them competing priorities of the different needs of different stakeholders within our communities. But really trying to keep kids first and foremost is always going to be our work. It's just humbling to be recognized, because I know there are so many that quite honestly deserve recognition for all that they've done. But it does tell me that I have colleagues and peers that think highly of the work that is happening in Wentzville. And I'm just very proud to be a part of that.
As you talk about the challenges of the past couple of years, if the National Superintendent of the Year could give a message to Missouri's school administrators, all the teachers, and others in the education world, what would that be moving forward?
My first message would be, it'd be a multi-pronged message. The first would be thank you. Thank you for keeping a focus on kids. Thank you for your flexibility. Thank you for your professionalism. Thank you for your creativity. And my second message would be that I truly believe there are brighter days in front of us. As we ask students to do on a daily and weekly basis to flex, to stretch themselves, we have had to do the exact same thing. And I think that we are going to benefit from some of the trials and tribulations that we've had to work our way through the past 2 years. I think that we are able to recenter. We are able to reprioritize in terms of, you know, what is absolutely essential. And we're also able to reconnect in terms of with ourselves, in terms of our colleagues, but also with our families as well. And I think that it has really forced us to become a little bit more introspective and really think about what we're doing and really value what we are ultimately doing. I think that to our community, I honestly believe that I think the regimen and the consistency that schools provide our communities, I think we've all kind of lost sight of that, because it just happens almost in a manner that feels very automatic. And so when that, as well as everything else, is interrupted, the more we return to that, the brighter I think our future is going to be.
Dr. Curtis Kane, the National Superintendent of the Year, joining Show Me today. So he was chosen by the American School Superintendents Association and is serving in the honor for this year. So I'm curious, what's your favorite thing, your absolute favorite thing about being a superintendent? Or do you have to pick like 500? I mean, give me your top five.
Really, it's kids. I think at the end of the day, you have to have a North Star. And what happens in our classrooms, and specifically the best interests of kids, is my favorite thing. Watching, we now have four high schools in our district. But being able to be on stage and literally shake hands of every senior that crosses that stage, it's one of the best days of the school year, because it's the ultimate public celebration, both collectively and individually, of what it's almost that handoff in terms of a relay race in track, right? We're completing one step, one leg of the race, and they are headed to that next stage, whether it's to serve our proud nation in the military, whether it's to immediately go into the world of work, whether it's a two-year or four-year set of studies in terms of community or junior college, community college, or on a college or a university campus, they're headed toward that next stage. And so it's always such a very, very exciting and energizing time. I think the work in terms of a laser-like focus of adding growth and value, both academically but holistically, in terms of what's happening for kids and to kids and around kids on a daily basis, is the best part of the job.
I love that. That's so great. I love your relay race analogy there. That's fantastic. So tell me, what made you decide you wanted to be a superintendent?
I cannot in good faith tell you that at 18 years old, I knew I was going to be a superintendent decades later. Just trying to maximize the efficacy and the effect of what staff do with kids has ultimately been the drive in terms of wanting to be a superintendent. I'm sorry, I'm using a lot of analogies, but there are times the superintendent is the quarterback. There are times the superintendent is the wide receiver. There are times the superintendent does the blocking. Like, there are a multitude of roles that you take as superintendent because you want to affect change that's ultimately going to be in the best interest of kids. And it becomes not only a work duty, it becomes a calling to really focus on that. And those changes evolve. Those needs evolve. They constantly change. And so it is never, ever boring. There is always something to do, and there's always something that we can improve. So it's just that drive to add as much value as we can on a daily basis to serve the needs of students, and to be a part of that, and in many cases leading that work, is very, very rewarding.
So as the National Superintendent of the Year, do you have to do like so much public speaking or professional development, or like what all does it entail?
That is still being shared with me, but I do think, I'll say it this way, I don't think my plate is going to be any lighter. I'm fairly certain that my plate won't become any lighter. I think there'll be a number of duties and opportunities that will be in front of me. And so I'm excited to embrace those opportunities and help move this conversation and this work forward.
Anything there to tag on as far as what you hope to take away from serving as the National Superintendent of the Year?
You know, I honestly hadn't thought about that. What do I think, I'll say this. I think that educators are in a position where we're still learners, right? We're adult learners, but we're still learners. And if I can sponge, borrow a fantastic idea elsewhere and bring it back to the state of Missouri, I would be happy to do so. I think it's a time when we need to be proud and we need to be loud about what we're doing for kids and how we're trying to support kids through this very unique time in terms of what we're working through as a nation when it comes to pandemic. I think the worst is behind us. I have great confidence that we have brighter days in front of us. And I think that there's unfinished learning, there's social emotional needs that we need to address. And then there's staging students for their future, not our present. All of that is still in front of us. And so it doesn't frustrate me. It doesn't exhaust me. It really energizes me when I think about what's next. And so anything that I can learn in any way I can be of assistance in getting that word out, I will be happy to do.
I can only imagine that schools are ready for COVID to be over with. You know, you guys have been through so much in the past 2 years with going back and forth from remote learning and just everything that comes along with that, you know, in terms of student learning and trying to make up learning loss and, you know, the needs of the kids as well over the past 2 years and trying to help them with whatever they're dealing with as well. So thank you very much for all that you're doing.
May I add something?
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's interesting because we, my wife and I are, as I think of the pandemic and when it started, we were parents of two kids in the district. So we had a child that was a junior in high school, and then we also had a second grader. So we're balancing our professional responsibilities and obligations. And then we have a second grader that is literally zooming into classrooms. And then we have a junior. We're trying to figure out collegiate application process, all these from ACT testing to AP, all of that as well. And so not only do I understand and appreciate the weight that we've all been carrying professionally, but I can't reinforce how much I get it personally as well. And trying to have two very different conversations because they're in two very different stages of life in terms of kids, right? One that is headed to a college campus, one that is in elementary school. Like, those are two drastically different sets of conversations that we're having. It became and was a lot for everyone, but we still stand, and I think we can ultimately stand stronger on the backside of this. And as I keep saying, I think that we have brighter days in front of us, and we've got work to do. So I say, let's go do it.
Curtis, what do you need from the state level to help kids? Is there anything, any sort of message that you have for the state in terms of what your needs are?
That is a very profound question. I think that there are those that are raising questions of masking, raising questions of thresholds, raising questions of instruction, right, in terms of what students have access to. I need people to understand that I really think this work is a calling, right? We literally pour into what's in the best interest of kids, and it's never about trying to offend anyone. It is about trying to safeguard and think of not only the individual needs of students, but the collective needs of students as well. And it's a constant counterbalance, counterbalancing act that we engage in, and that we've never lost sight of that. But there hasn't been a playbook for this since the Spanish flu of well over a century ago. But this is a different world and a different time that we're in. I think people need to understand that every district is working to address whatever needs students have. And in some ways, the academic ones are the ones that we know. But there are other needs that, quite honestly, students and adults throughout communities are working their way through. And that we're going to get there. It's going to take time. It's going to take focus. And it's going to take resource in order to get there. But we will get there. But we are all trying to prepare students for their future and not necessarily our present. And their needs continue to evolve. And I think ultimately our responses and our ability to respond and to toggle strategically from one particular modality or avenue to the next is something that has only heightened and something that we've only gotten better at over the course of the pandemic. And so, our dedication to public education has not wavered, and it won't waver as we move forward.
So, I'm just curious. I find it fascinating that you were chosen as National Superintendent of the Year, and the National Principal of the Year is from Fulton. That's pretty awesome. What do you think that says about Missouri, that we have two of the top school administrators right here in Missouri?
I will say, I think it says this. In Wentzville, 2 years ago, we opened a elementary school. This past year, we opened a high school. This upcoming summer, we're opening a middle school. And we spent a lot of time and focus on the brick and mortar in terms of just construction. And that is important. But I think the recognition for both myself and for the National Principal of the Year speaks to what is really important. And that's, it's the flesh and blood. It's people that make all the difference. And there are some fantastic, amazing, highly professional educators that are across the entirety of the state of Missouri. And I think that's, you can't get around the people. You can't get around the people. It's regardless of the amount of technology that we are ultimately able to embed and integrate in terms of what we do on a daily basis, it will not overrule or supersede the quality of the educator that is in front of our students. And I think it speaks, or those two recognitions speak to the fact that we both have that opportunity to simply represent that mindset, that mantra, that there are fantastic, highly skilled educators across the entirety of the state, across every corner of the state, across the entirety of the state. And so we should be proud of what we're doing for kids. And it's very telling that the nation recognizes that. I just hope that we always recognize that as a state, how special the people are here in the state of Missouri.
Dr. Curtis Kane, the superintendent at Wentzville Public Schools and also the National Superintendent of the Year, joining Show Me today. Just for some background, how long have you served at Wentzville? And then is there anywhere else that you have been superintendent here in Missouri? And how long have you been a superintendent?
This is my ninth year in Missouri serving as superintendent. This has actually been my first superintendency. I actually started in July of 13 as an interim superintendent and ultimately was promoted to full-time superintendent by September of 2013. So just a couple months after I started back in 2013. As I said earlier, this is my first superintendency in the state of Missouri. And actually next year I'll be serving in the Rockwood School District serving as superintendent.
Okay, very good. That's wonderful. Dr. Kane, I don't have anything else to add. Is there anything else that you want to touch upon that we haven't already talked about?
I think you've had some really, really thought-provoking questions. So I've had to stop and think about quite a few things as we've had this conversation. Just that we're here, and you know, even when we were, I was just joking with someone. Somehow, 2022 has presented a different level of challenge than what we were facing in 2020. And if you remember, spring of 2020, we didn't even know where we were going to consistently find toilet paper. But we worked our way through it, right? And we've been able to work our way through it and keep moving forward. I think I want people to know that that isn't changing, right? We're going to continue to face challenges that won't be pandemic related as we move forward. But we're going to come together, fashion and develop plans, and keep moving forward. We have to. In most cases, we have 13 years with these cherubs. We have 13 years, quite honestly, someone's baby, right? We have 13 years. I don't care if it's an 18-year-old, 6'5", 250-pound graduate with a full beard, right? That's still someone's baby. And we have 13 years to get this right as we possibly can on a daily basis. And that work is serious and is very focused, but it's also work in which we can laugh and we can celebrate along the way. And we need to be doing more of that, taking the work very seriously, but also enjoying each and every day that we're presented.
I guess I didn't really stop to think about how different the challenges are now versus in 2020. I mean, especially as far as toilet paper goes, I thought there was more of a toilet paper problem now than there was then. I guess not so much because, yeah, they were being pulled off the shelves then by everyone and their mother. But now I guess I'm thinking about the supply chain problems. So it is a little bit different, but.
It feels more ever present now than, or even more present now than it did then, right? It's fascinating, isn't it? How there are ripples and there are waves to these challenges. And so if we're just steady, if we're just mindful of not only our needs, but the needs of others, we're ultimately going to be fine. But the supply chain will return, right? But it's a perfect analogy, right? It's not just schools. Everyone has felt and felt pressures and issues, and has felt. Let me say it this way: everyone has felt some pressure and dealt with a number of issues and challenges. But we still keep moving forward. That's always been true of this country. It's always been true of this nation, right? We just find a way to keep persevering and moving forward, and we will do so right now.
That's Dr. Curtis Kane, the National Superintendent of the Year. He's also the Superintendent of Wentzville Public Schools near St. Louis. We will be back with more after this. This is Show Me Today, the voice of Missouri.